about fucking Rondale Moore not being top 10.
A show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Finero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 214. Here, as always, with the feverish Finero and the spaceman himself. Did you guys know which episode it was?
212.
214, like you said.
Dave, I just said it was 214.
I was too excited to pay attention.
And I think the question was, before I just got done telling you it was 214, did you know what it was? And apparently, the spaceman did not.
I'm not good with numbers.
Not good with numbers. check out that, those data sheets.
That's going in the intro.
Oh my goodness. No, it might stay right there. It might be close enough to the beginning already. To be fair. So this week we're going through top 10 overall through the first 8 weeks of the season. Then of course the top 12. Slim pickings for everybody this week with our week 9 predictions, except for Finero. Finero's got this, but I think it's pretty slim.
It's a little top heavy.
Top heavy. I like it. Oh, snap. Rookie Fever trivia off the get. There have been 96 opportunities through the first 8 weeks of the season for rookies to fall into the top 12. How many rookies have taken advantage of those opportunities?
One more time. I was not ready for the lasers.
There's 96 total opportunities for rookies to hit the top 12, 8 times 12. How many rookies have done it?
96.
No, because there's repeat. Nice try. Hold on.
96.
The spaceman's looking for the trick question in there, but no, I'm trying to do math. So all it really is like, so how many unique people? And I think we decided together there was 3 unique people this week. So that helps, right? So 9 plus 3, then you have to figure out how many unique people each every week add up for a total. So I'm going to say there's 3 on average, 3, that's 36 plus the 12. I'm going to say 47.
Okay. You're a little high.
Yeah, I am. I want to change that right now because for me to say there's an average of 3 every week, that's way too high. Can I change it?
Yeah.
All right.
Dave doesn't seem to be guessing. Dave's still trying to understand the question.
I'm going to say 25.
I'll go 29.
It is 29.
Oh, wow. Good job, Finero.
Not really.
We have a winner.
We'll give it to him. That doesn't happen much with Rookie Fever trivia. So
that's true. Rookie Fever trivia is hard.
29 times. But it's interesting to look at it, too. And just it's a different rookie class. I'll just say that for now. It's a different rookie class. And then but we'll jump into this top 10. So number 10, through 8 weeks of the season, Devonta Smith, wide receiver 44, 81.1 points, 33 receptions, 56 targets, 421 yards, 1 touchdown for Devonta Smith. This would all look a lot different with a couple more touchdowns. I know we can't sure. give him the touchdowns, yeah. but I know that both of you are higher on Devonta Smith than myself, to say the least.
I mean, the targets
not a horrible
are...
season, but he's one of the only rookies who's the wide receiver one on the team.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. The targets are there. He's clearly the wide receiver one on this team. I'm a little worried about the coaches over there in Philadelphia and not really knowing how to run a balanced offense. I think that would help a little bit. I think when they do run the ball, whether it's Gainwell, hell, Jordan Howard, Boston Scott. I mean, when they run, they're successful. And I just feel like it's kind of a handicapped offensive scheme for wide receivers to really thrive in, because there's no real reason to go after the run. And it's a little troubling. I think they're going to change that. I think they changed that oddly enough after Miles Sanders got hurt. But I agree with you. I think the touchdowns would be nice. I do think, you know, I made a statement 2 weeks ago where he was on pace for a 1,000-yard season, which would be phenomenal from a rookie. But he's more trending towards that 800-yard season now, which would be, you know, less. But no, I feel you. Like the situation over there does concern me a little bit. I know I've listened to the Spaceman talk about Mr. Hurts a little bit on his other show, Tale of Two Rivals. So I think he's a little higher on Hurts than I am, but he is also a concern of mine. But he also could get better. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm optimistic that things will change in Philadelphia by the end of the season to get excited, a little more excited about Devonta Smith.
And that's just it. I mean, you say 800 yards. And 800 yards is nothing to scoff at from any wide receiver, let alone a rookie.
Exactly.
It's just kind of like we said, you know, minus the touchdowns at this point. But, I mean, that would be a great rookie season. We have really high expectations for any of our players, especially, I mean, rookie fever to me implies a certain amount of dynasty. And I think in dynasty we have even quicker expectations. But
we do.
Dave, Devonta Smith, I know you're quite happy with what we've seen so far.
So he's the rookie wide receiver three, you know, only three wide receivers in the top 10 with the points per carry in PPR. Rondale Moore is on the list. Just FYI for the listeners at home who might be bleeding a little bit inside like I am. But yeah, no. So one of three
wide receivers. I wasn't going to fight to make this like top 12 just because I knew it would have squeezed Rondale Moore in.
I know. I wasn't going to fight it either. I like playing I don't even know what I'm trying to say, like the, you know, the oh, woe is me character here. But yeah, so the thing about a couple things about Rondale Moore, Devonta Smith. And then don't even get me started about Elijah Mitchell tonight, guys. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll just skip to Javonte Williams.
For can we talk about Javonte Williams, please?
So Devonta Smith, a couple things. People want to say that Jalen, like Fenero alluded to Jalen Hurts. And it's not that I'm like in love with Jalen Hurts. I just feel like the hate has gone too far with Jalen Hurts. Devonta Smith has an 82% catchable target rate, which is right in the middle of the pack. It's not like people want to make it seem like he's getting some awful targets and Jalen Hurts is not hitting him. Yes, he has a 60% catch rate, which is very low, relatively low, I should say. But 82% catchable ball rate is pretty respectable. And then I mentioned that, I think I alluded this to a week or two ago. We thought maybe he'd be getting a lot more work out of the slot. Only 8% slot rate. So he's getting used a lot more on the outside. So maybe that's kind of one reason why he's not catching the ball as much. He's getting a little bit bodied by these bigger NFL corners. So I'm kind of curious, maybe as he develops more in the NFL, they'll move him inside. If Rager ends up being more of a bust, that frees up some more slot stuff for Smith. But like we said, a top 24 wide receiver projection is you in year one, you want to hit at least 18% target share. He's at 22%. Fenero mentioned his receiving yards, low on the touchdowns, but that entire Philly offense is low in the receiving touchdowns list. And yards per route, only 1.5 yards per route, would like a little bit more, but 92% route participation is exciting. That kind of usage from a first-round pick hitting these kind of benchmarks is exciting. Not necessarily as – it's not like a Justin Jefferson type season, but definitely something to be happy about as we readjust our expectations here, realizing that not everyone's going to be Jamar Chase, not everyone's going to be Justin Jefferson.
Just to give you last year comparison chart, last year rookie number 10 after week 8 was DeAndre Swift.
So I already knew that because it may have been a question for Rookie Fever trivia.
But oh, I win again.
Two right answers in a row.
No, I've got I'm ready for you guys tonight. I'm ready for you. I've got another one. But it's interesting you bring that up too, because he was number 10. And you look at like last year's points versus this year's points and last year's class, you can see that last year's was a little bit deeper and this class is a little bit top heavy. Like you look at, and we'll get to them, what Jamar Chase and Najee Harris are doing this year compared to what was happening last year at this time. And it's extraordinary, quite honestly. So it's definitely something to keep in mind. I think that I'm seeing last year's class was deeper, kind of like we thought, and this class is really weird because even you mentioned all the running backs in this top 10 list. It wasn't as the running back heavy early on. Like early on in our first couple weeks of the top 12, we had a lot of wide receivers that kept hitting. And this running back class has been very, very different than we thought it was going to be. But man, I mean, you could say the same about last year's class even. So I don't know. I don't really like the fact that Finero looks back at previous data before the show, because for these quarterly shows here, Finero, I feel like at least
he's digging around for different questions as we speak, because I got all the answers. There were 5 running backs and 5 wide receivers last year, by the way, in the top 10.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, number 9.
Yep.
Number 9 this year, Khalil Herbert. And this, he came out of nowhere. That's what's so crazy about this class. Running back 35, 84.75 points, 81 carries, 351 yards, 1 touchdown, 9 receptions, 10 targets, 44 yards.
You know what's more crazy than that? He only started 4 games of the 8.
Yeah.
You know what's even more crazy? Don't mess with David Montgomery truthers when talking about Khalil Herbert. Holy crap. And just here's some numbers for you guys. So they both now started 4 games this season, David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert.
Wait,
and
Dave, you came with numbers?
I'm not good with them, so bear with me. Now, through those 4 games, and one of those games for David Montgomery was Detroit, so that even padded the stats a little bit here. But more rush attempts for Khalil Herbert, more rush yards for Khalil Herbert, more rush touchdowns for David Montgomery, but more missed tackles forced for Khalil Herbert, more the same amount of big runs, more first downs for Khalil Herbert, more targets than for Khalil Herbert, better targets. It's just down the list. Khalil Herbert is doing what David Montgomery is doing, and people. And look, I'm not here to hate on David Montgomery, but my question is either, you know, who's asking for it too, is Khalil Herbert. He wants more opportunities. He wants more fantasy points, and he's doing it, baby. He is showing some real talent, and it's not just, and unlike Elijah Mitchell, who we're going to talk about later, who's not getting any targets, Khalil Herbert is getting targets. So very exciting. And like, so I said, out of nowhere. So I'm very excited about what's happening here with Khalil Herbert.
I mean, it's also two completely different offenses at this point that Herbert's running in versus what Montgomery was running in with Dalton and getting used to Fields. I don't know. I don't think David Montgomery's just going away.
I'm not sure that's all that
the David Montgomery people really want to say.
Yeah, I don't want to say that either. I'm just trying to say is like, hey, we want to get excited about.
I think it's naive to think that Herbert's just taking this backfield over. I think that Montgomery people should. You are doing a good job by getting underneath Dave's skin on this one.
No, I'm not in my skin. I'm loving this. I'm loving the cool. Bring it. Hate me. So yeah. But anyway, I'll keep her going.
I don't want him to hate. Don't hate Dave. Dave's a smart guy. Don't hate Dave. But I'm with him. I don't even know what they said. So I hope you guys were sort of respectful in your conversations. But I'm with the Dave Montgomery stands or truthers, whatever would like to refer to us as.
You're a believer.
I just don't think he's going away. I don't think Herbert is either, though, at all. I'm not saying Herbert's going away either. I think both sides need to be fair. I think Herbert has been exceptional, and he absolutely deserves a role in this offense. So I'm not saying that either. But Dave Montgomery should be back sooner than later, I would think. But number 8, Elijah Mitchell, running back 29, 91.55 points, 81 carries, 433 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4 receptions, 4 targets, 30 yards. I chuckle because it's like, all the running backs I didn't think we would be talking about at this point in the season that we actually are.
There's 3 guys on this list that did not play all 8 games, and we just got off one, and Khalil Herbert, Elijah Mitchell's the second one who only started 5 games, and then the other one is a running back. So all 3, to your point, Swags, are running backs. PFF noted that in week 8, 135 of Mitchell's 137 yards were after contact.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's I think Shanahan trusts this guy. I think everyone's thinking when Jeff Wilson comes back, it's going to be muddy waters again, and maybe it will be. But I don't think Elijah Mitchell's going anywhere this season anyway.
No, he's a little banged up again. I think he's going to make it. Him to play.
Yeah, I think he might make it through.
So you're not picking Trey Sermon? He's not one of your deep...
Nah.
He's your deep roster cut?
Nah, yeah. Trey Sermon shouldn't even be on, like... Yeah, Trey Sermon needs to be forgotten.
I'm tempted to pump and dump Elijah Mitchell, though, after the season. Because it's getting more and more likely that Trey Lance is not going to be playing this year. So, or at least unless there's another injury to Jimmy G. So when that happens, you're going to expect more rushing opportunities, more goal line stuff for Trey Lance, and that takes some of the stuff away for Elijah Mitchell. So maybe it might be a good sell high time. But no, use him now because running backs are far and few between at this point. But just thinking long term and dynasty wise.
I started golf instead of freaking Garoppolo this week. That hurt.
I'm tempted to sell everybody in that offense except for Brandon Ayuk. And it's only because you can't get a damn for him. And I'm so afraid of, I mean, what happens with Shanahan's offense and what we get excited about are two different worlds. So I don't know, Dave, would you sell today?
I mean, if someone wants to pay a premium as if they're, if they, someone wants to pay me a premium, but running backs, you know, we just saw they keep dropping like flies here. It's getting really tough. And one of the few that it seems like you can count on right now is Elijah Mitchell. So I don't want to be, I don't think I'm going to get fair market. No one's going to pay me a first for Elijah Mitchell right now, I don't think.
Would you take a 2023 first?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Finero, same?
Yeah.
Cam Akers or Elijah Mitchell?
Right after that video was released about Cam Akers making those cuts. Did you guys see that?
I did, yes.
That's tough.
I mean, I don't think it is. You guys know that I went for Cam Akers in a few leagues for a first, and now it seems the value was much less than that, maybe I overpaid, but I was basically saying that people were overdoing the injury. There wasn't enough data to know that he was doomed. So I'm willing to roll the dice on that. I'll take Cam Akers.
Same here, but just because the closer we get, the more videos, the camp videos we're going to see with Cam Akers, the people are going to believe the hype. It's going to be, he's going to be
Marlon Mack is helping that hype. Marlon Mack, same injury. Yeah. Marlon Mack, same injury, and people are saying he looks good.
Well, and there's never been a time where you say maybe you overpaid, but there's never been a time where you could have got him for a second.
I don't know, man. I was getting trashed quite a bit for my first. I think he could have gotten for 2 seconds.
You did it really quick.
I did it very quick.
I think a lot of people would do it today.
Okay. Well, makes me feel a little more right at the time. I
remember that now. You did it, so we didn't have much information when you were making those moves.
Correct.
You definitely, you played off emotions.
Correct.
And I think that people should do that more. Number 7, Javonte Williams, running back 24, 102.5 points, 78 carries, 355 yards, 1 touchdown, 22 receptions, 26 targets, 135 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Javonte Williams, as noted by Finero earlier, Swift at number 10 was actually running back 24 at this time last year, too. I am not making a comp here. But I am going to say before I throw it to these guys, I do expect much brighter days ahead for Javonte Williams. And I don't think it's been that bad. We do have to consider also, I'm saying running back 24, but he hasn't been through his bye week. Excuse me. I think he's averaging like running back 30, 33. Don't completely quote me on that. But there are running backs now that have been through their bye week that are doing just as good, if not better, with that taken into consideration.
38th in points per game, PPR points per game. So no points per carry, but
38th.
Yeah, in PPR.
And see, but does that take every weekly game, like even from like Tony Pollard and like their averages too? Like the guys that are, might have that one high week that they play a week or something and then they miss some time and...
There's no games limit. So if someone has one good game, scores a lot, I don't have it filtered out.
Okay.
Rookie number 7 last year, Jonathan Taylor.
And rookie number 7 last year probably had, I'm guessing, a little bit more points.
I don't have the points in front of me, just their rankings. So that would be a good trivia question for me, Swags, if you want to pivot. knowing I have the entire list from last year in front of me without points, that is. But only to your point.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
But to your point about Williams, you know, Melvin Gordon is pushing him off, but you know, I think we all know at this point Williams is good, and he's going to be good. Once he gets the full reins, you know, it's going to be all in. And so I don't think that's a secret. Melvin Gordon is playing well. He's not playing great, but he's playing well, and they're splitting right down the middle. So it's just I don't know, man. Anytime anybody drafted him, I mean, weren't we all waiting at least this long for Williams to really shine? I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to shine week one.
Yeah, I feel like I was probably the most excited about Javonte Williams of our group. And I'm not saying you guys didn't like him, but I think I was probably the most excited. And even I mean, we mentioned Melvin Gordon a lot in a conversation where we knew he was going to be involved. I expected maybe a little bit more. I'm not going to lie at this point. Maybe closer to an average of running back 24 versus average of RB 38 on the week.
Right.
But I'm not really concerned about the future. This is still kind of what we want to see from these rookie running backs. And this is the time of year, though, man, between like 8 and 12, where we want to start to see them get a little bit more opportunity to give us that good feeling for their future. This is usually when you start to see it, if it's going to happen. So I want to see it before the season ends. But if not, I know I'll still be buying, but I do want to see it before the season ends. This is the time.
You will.
I would argue outside of maybe Jamar Chase, there is not a – and maybe Najee Harris too. I'll throw him out there. But there is no one – and maybe Kyle Pitts. So I'm not going to keep going to the list, but maybe
and maybe.
Those three players, I don't think there's more positive feelings around another rookie in this class so far than Javonte Williams. The positivity – has been at highest now, or is extremely high, and for warranted. We talked about this a little bit last week, the week before. But that being said, last week, week eight, was his second lowest point total of the season, his lowest since week one, and his lowest overall PPR finish among running backs since week one. So now I actually have felt a little bit of a, oh, they're really expecting him to, you know, people can only take that. Oh, he's going to take over Melvin Gordon. He's going to take over Melvin Gordon. Get that positive so much, because what happens is that when they're in their fantasy lineups and they're not doing it, it starts to take the winds out of their sail a little bit. And that's happened to some people out there who are banking on Javonte Williams through these bye weeks and all these injuries. So I would test these waters, because the peripherals are there. He is going to be good. So I just think we're going to play some psychology here. I'm not going to say it's like a true bye window, but it's definitely a time to at least test to see what's going on, because I think you only can say, hey, Melvin Gordon's gonna not last forever for so long before people start to crack.
There was an ease of buy for Taylor last year this time of year. Absolutely was. Yeah. I think Taylor was insanely frustrating. There was talk about him possibly being, and I know it wasn't anybody on this show, but there was absolutely talk in the Dynasty community about him being potentially a bust. I mean, I literally heard the four letter word bust. And anybody who knew Jonathan Taylor's measurables was just like, just hold on, calm down, relax. But Wilkins was in there. Hines was in there. Like, it was like everybody but Taylor. So this is normal. Swift had to wait. Yeah. Like, it's very, very normal. This is totally normal. Melvin Gordon is on the wrong side for a running back. And it's only a matter of time for him to just miss a beat. And again, I don't want that to happen to him, but it's highly likely he'll have to like miss a game or two, and then that's when we're going to see Williams and his value is going to like completely spike, because we're waiting.
I was I was on a live stream where they were doing rookie re-ranks through halfway through the series with a bunch of big names, big name analysts, and I had the first pick, and I in Superflex, and I picked Jonathan Taylor right through as my overall rookie. Among when the hate was high, and I got laughed. Someone laughed me off. They were laughed me off. They dismissed it as stupid. So just realize that people that like you gotta see. Don't get caught up in the tree, like in a single tree. You gotta see the whole forest here, guys.
I'm waiting for the lasers.
I'd probably take Herbert over Jonathan Taylor, though.
That's not true.
I'm not sure if it was Superflex, thinking back, but it sounded good at the time. It sounded made the story sound better.
Oh, I thought he was saying Khalil Herbert.
I did too for a second. I was like, oh my gosh, over David Montgomery too. Oh my gosh.
But the funny thing and the irony of that is that people are now just as excited about somebody like Dobbins and Akers. They're probably about the same price as they were this time last year with injured out for the season. So you probably could have got all those guys. Like you mentioned Taylor, you could get Swift back then. You could get Dobbins, Akers, all these guys who even the injured ones are almost unattainable. You can get CEH if you want. So go get some Javonte Williams. Trade Chuba Hubbard, running back 23, 107 points, 108 carries, 391 yards, 2 touchdowns, 18 receptions, 26 targets, 119 yards. Fair to note that he did not start the first couple weeks of the season either, and he's still rookie number 6, running back 23 on the season.
T. Higgins was in this spot last year. T. Higgins, who played all 8 games last year. What do you think I can get in return trading away Tuba to the CMC owner? What's his value right now?
Second.
Yeah, it's Aldis Holdem then.
Are you starting him?
Going
into your lineup? Do you need him?
Is he
making your team better?
In 14 different leagues, yes, I have to use him in 14 different leagues with all the running back injury with all the running back injuries, yes. Yeah. Yes.
If you're starting
I don't have teams like yours with 5 starting running backs on them.
If you're starting him, I agree.
Yeah.
But if you're not and he is like that guy that's deep down, like I think that the move for your team is to pursue the options. And you know, we use pick examples a lot. Maybe there's a player you can go get that would make you feel a little bit better about it too. But I agree with you full-heartedly. If you're starting him, it's not worth it to you to trade him away to help somebody else out.
Plus, I've heard you say several times, like, you're bringing CMC down. You're worried about these injuries recurring over and over again. I mean, what if he has a little more value than you think?
Yeah.
I will say, guys.
I just know, like, when we're talking about picks, nobody's giving you a first.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I asked. I just feel like the second is the easy answer. Like, it's obviously more than the third, and he clearly isn't worth the first. So it's like, he's one of those players. But I hear you. You brought up some really good points. Like,
what
get
would
off the
you
pick.
Add
get
to
off
him
the pick.
To go get Cam Akers?
Mm.
And I know you said you're starting him, so you're leaning on Chuba Hubbard. But what would you add to him to go get Cam Akers from a team that needs to put some points in their lineup now? And you figure something else out.
Do you think I could do Chuba in a second for Cam?
I would
think it's fun to try.
Yeah, I think space. I knew I was going to get turned down for that.
Not for me, but I don't know about other people. I'll just add, guys, Chuba Hubbard, the least efficient rookie out of any rookie this year. Negative 18.1 expected points added as far as actual NFL points. Mm-hmm. That is by far a very, very inefficient year given his volume. He's getting the volume, which matters, and getting some fantasy points, which is valuable. But when you're that inefficient, the long-term value is not promising. So I just want a fair warning or just a little bit of a warning there for everyone with Chuba Hubbard.
That made me want to get rid of him right away.
Try a second. Try a second in Hubbard and see if you can get Akers. You never know. Well, not after
he the does video. Have a he does have a Mike Davis stink to him.
Not after the damn video. Man. Number 5, Jaylen Waddle, wide receiver 25, 108. 0.75 points, 1 carry for 2 yards, 48 receptions, 69 targets, 413 yards, 3 touchdowns. This is PPR, obviously, but wide receiver 25 on the season with some meh quarterback play until Tua came back. These guys are afraid to talk about Waddle.
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter back and forth about Waddle over the last week and a half. So much so
these guys don't like Waddle.
So that's not see. I knew you were gonna lead with that like right away. Anyway, I ran out and got NFL Game Pass just so I could watch every single Waddle play because I wanted to see what he did against Buffalo. And that might rather than summarize every single thing that happened for you, play by play, what I did notice and what I do want to talk about with you two is. It seemed like Parker was clearly the wide receiver 1. You can't see that in a box score because targets to Waddle were quite high with 12. But those targets were some really empty calories. I'm talking like down by his feet, completely out of bounds. There was one target where I wouldn't even have called it a target if I was the statistician. It was clearly uncatchable on a throwaway ball, but I guess because Waddle jumped high enough, it was a target. But that was the only thing that I saw. And I also saw his use decrease throughout the game, and he was barely used on the final drive. It was clearly Parker was the first read for Tua. So I just wanted to throw that at you guys. Like, do you think that a lot of – because the thing that we love about Waddle are these targets. And, again, this is a game where he didn't necessarily succeed, but he had 12 still. But I'm telling you, I looked at those, and they're bad targets. I mean, really, like, I would not even count half of them as targets. Do you guys think Parker long-term affects Waddle? You think helps Waddle? Like, any feedback on the you know, the fact that Parker's back and healthy and what that means?
I mean, I think in the long run, we want to see Parker out there. For our fantasy teams today, of course, like, it's easy to say, like, get Parker out of there because we saw more successful weeks out of Waddle while Parker was out injured. But I think for the longevity of Waddle, who was coming in a little bit hobbled, you know, I think for the longevity of him and for him to get integrated into the league, like, it would be awesome to have him out there with Parker drawing coverage. Absolutely. I'm all about it. But I mean, I feel similar to somebody like Parker as I would Melvin Gordon to Javonte Williams. I think that it is eventually going to be Waddle's the number one there. And I think we're going to continue to see some of those targets. Hopefully they're a little bit better. It was a tough matchup, so we'll see.
I have been probably I'd say I'm probably been one of the bigger haters of Jalen Waddle in the fans, you know, in this space, and especially on the show. I've been I might say that I'm a hater of Waddle, and I think that I want to take a couple of seconds here and just say, first and foremost, he's getting targets. That is important. He has a full 1.3 targets per game, more than any other rookie wide receiver in this class, more than Jamar Chase, who everyone's obsessed with. And volume is king, especially in PPR. So I want to make sure that is important. He's got a 22% target share. There's a lot of things to get excited for Waddle about. And he's doing this from day one as a rookie. And I've mentioned some of my concerns, and he's just not as efficient as I would like. But rookie efficiency, especially, is indicative of future success. But targets and volume is first and foremost. And a six overall pick in the NFL draft, who's getting opportunity from day one and is producing, is important. And so I can say whatever I want about Waddle, and I can poke holes as much as I want. But the truth of the matter is Waddle is freaking eating. He's getting work. And I want as much talent surrounding these rookies as possible, because that means more first downs, more red zone trips for the overall offense, more first down, all more downs, all that stuff. So I like Devontae Parker there. And I just want to clear the air as, yes, I have been critical of Waddle, but I want to say, hey, there comes a point where you got to look at the big picture and say, targets, volume is king, and Waddle's getting it. That being said, I want him to be more efficient.
It would be nice. We'll see. There's a couple more favorable matchups coming for Tua, so we'll see.
Did I do Waddle proud there that time, Swags? Was that? Do you think that was a good at least a semi redemption story there?
I think it was more true to what's going on. Yes,
there we go.
But I also know how some of that it's sometimes tough, you know, when you do what we do, and not only have your opinions, you have reasons for them, a process for them. We sit here with each other weekly before the season starts, and we debate about this. So it drives our hunger and our want and need for our players to succeed so quickly. And it's hard to let it go sometimes. I mean, I don't know. The one that was easy for me to let go, though, was Trey Sermon. So, and even that was, you know what I mean? I was never taking him in like the first round or anything like that, but still,
you had high hopes.
Total waste of a early second round pick in some rookie drafts. Absolutely. So yeah, I had high hopes, at least for a season. And now, I don't even know. Like, wait till you can get a couple big games, trade him for a second if you can.
I think there's like three guys ahead of him on that depth chart at this point.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, Jalen Waddle, I will be trying to add you to as many teams as I can for as long as I can. Well, you know, till everybody's hip to the game and the price is out of whack. Number four, much like number four, Kyle Pitts. Tons 50 targets, 484 yards, and a touchdown. Kyle Pitts or Travis Kelce?
It rests the season or for Dynasty? Word,
I said.
It is Dynasty.
Yeah, Dynasty.
I'll take Kyle Pitts.
Finero?
I'm going to stay with Kelce. I know who his quarterback is for the next 5 years.
Finero, do you ever wish that you had the nothing is in a vacuum drop right there to just like bang on like a button?
Yeah, I hate when you pull them out. I really do. The ones that like literally like there's this dead air like that thankfully you just cut out, but I'm just sitting there like, all right, I got one for you. Who's rookie four from last year? Not including Swags, who has the list in front of him. Rookie number four from last year. Oh, he's not looking at the list. I like
it. J.K. Dobbins?
No.
No.
Dobbins wasn't even on the list. Ugh. Not top 10. He was 14.
Ugh, that was terrible guess.
He was 14. This is top four, guys. This is big. These are big names. Big names right here, top four.
So number one's James Robinson, then CEH.
Correct,
then
correct.
Brandon Ayuk. Then Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's number three. Yeah. Justin Jefferson's number three.
How could he forget 1,400 yard Justin Jefferson?
T. Higgins.
No.
Who is it?
CeeDee Lamb, guys.
Oh yes. Jesus. Mr. CeeDee Lamb.
Poor dude.
Mr. CeeDee Lamb. Feverish, have you warmed up to Michael Carter, running back 21, 111.75 points, 73 carries, 279 yards, 3 touchdowns, 26 receptions, 37 targets for another 226 yards, Michael Carter?
73 points of his 111 total points on the season in which he played every game came in the last 3 weeks. The guy's on fire, and it's all in the passing game. Now, he did get 15 carries in this game, so he's also getting some additional usage there. The thing that I found curious after watching every single play of this game was dump, 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 dump. I wanted to see how many routes he ran. It was three routes of those catches, three routes on those targets. All the rest were dump passes. And the one thing I also noticed was, who's the other back? Ty Johnson? I sometimes got confused on who it even was. It didn't matter who they dumped the ball off to. They looked exactly like the same guy. Now, this is not me shitting on Carter. He had a very good game. But I'm curious, do the Jets, when Wilson comes back, adopt more of this high, you know, high percentage completion game? This is something versus – they beat Cincinnati with this play calling. You know what I mean? They won a game. It's not just Michael Carter doing well. They won a game doing this. Now, I know they did that probably because it's Mike White. But why not do this with Zach Wilson a little bit and give the guy some confidence, let him move on? I wonder if they continue this, because if you look, none of this was happening at all with Wilson. And Wilson was throwing the ball downfield. He wasn't doing these little dumb ball passes. We've talked about this on this show several times. There's quarterbacks that do it. They're the Phillip Rivers, the Ben Roethlisbergers. There's quarterbacks that do this kind of thing. I think White had to do it because maybe he's just not that good. You look at his 400 yards, a lot of that was these dumb ball passes. A ton of it was these dump ball passes. Really easy, behind the line of scrimmage. I'm not even talking about two-yard dumps. I'm talking about behind the line of scrimmage. Michael Carter was making hay of that, don't get me wrong. But again, Ty Johnson was doing it too. I just feel like, I don't know, I think this could be something that the Jets start doing moving forward, which I think could be good for another rookie that's not, we don't talk about much, Zach Wilson. I think it could be good for Zach Wilson.
I hope Zach Wilson takes these 2 to 4 weeks that he's going to be out and looks at that last game where the Jets had something like a 4A dot.
Yep.
But they had a 4A dot on passing plays, but they had over 9 yards per attempt. That is anything over 8 something yards per attempt in the passing game is extremely efficient. And he also should look around the league. All the other rookie quarterbacks besides Mac Jones are all in the bottom, all below 30th in QB efficiency per EPA per dropback, EPA per play. They're doing incredibly very inefficient, and their teams are not in it at all. But Mac Jones, who's taking these, what the defense is giving you, and I know he's set up, that offense is set up that way to succeed that way. But that being, I hope Zach Wilson realizes that the NFL and just take Tom Brady, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady has made a living off of taking what the defense is getting him and pushing the ball when he needs to. And I think that and what that means to Michael Carter for me, guys, quick stat, because I know we're getting cut here. Weeks 1 through 3, Michael Carter had 7.8 expected fantasy points per game. So it's a really sticky volume metric. and then like 8.9 weighted opportunities per game, which it combines targets and carries together. And that ranked in the mid to high 40s among all running backs in weeks 1 through 3. So not very good volume. The last 4 weeks and since week 4, Michael Carter is 5th among all running backs in expected points per game and is 4th in weighted opportunities per game. And that is just, that's sexy. That what I'm talking about, guys, that kind of volume is that you don't get. That's like what DeAndre Swift, that's kind of like DeAndre Swift kind of volume.
And honestly, I'm starting to think he's not going away though, Finero, because it's one of those things too, like where, and I think he'll go away within a couple of years, but I feel like if I, let's just say I was really wrong about Antonio Gibson, even though I feel like I was right about Antonio Gibson, but I thought for sure that Washington was going to bring in a running back and they didn't.
Fair.
But I could see them, I don't know, I just feel like New York, they're not a smart organization, but I feel like they have more important needs. So I could see it going either way, I guess, with all that said.
I think Dave said it using numbers and I said it watching the game. And I think we're saying the same thing. If they move the offense strategy to more of a gameplay like this when Zach Wilson comes back, I agree. I think that will favor Michael Carter. I think it favors this team, and he will continue to gain value on this team. And I agree that will make him much harder to get rid of. Like if he's gonna catch 7 to 9 balls a game, like that's fantastic.
Yeah. Number 2, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 3, 171.8 points, 2 carries, 7 yards, 38 receptions, 59 targets, 786 yards, 7 touchdowns. I'm just going to do Najee Harris right now too. Number 1, Najee Harris, and I'm not trying to move through these guys fast, but they're neck and neck. Running back 3, 177.2 points, 128 carries, 479 yards, 3 touchdowns, 37 receptions, 49 targets, 273 yards, 5 touchdowns on the season, 752 all-purpose yards. Finero, I know you've got it in front of you. James Robinson was number 1 last year.
Correct.
At this point last year, James Robinson was running back 6. He only had 82.6 points, 60 carries, only 60 carries to Najee Harris's 128 carries. Also, I looked and just to see, because I was curious, James Robinson hadn't had a bye week yet. And I know they're not the same players. Najee Harris has also had a bye week. The opportunities that Najee Harris is getting in his rookie season is freaking insane. And I still don't think he's getting enough respect, even on this show, maybe. But I didn't mean to skip right over Ja'Marr Chase like that. It was more a comparison to what the number one rookie was doing last year compared to what Ja'Marr Chase and Najee Harris are actually doing this year to be wide receiver 3 and running back 3 in the NFL in fantasy as rookies is freaking special.
You know what else is special? Ja'Marr Chase has a nose for the freaking end zone, dude. 7 touchdowns in 8 games. That's unbelievable. We talked about Devonta Smith having 1 touchdown. We talked about, I mean, even Najee Harris has 3 on the ground. Like, it's one of these things where it's like, wow. I mean, that we talk about how touchdowns are king in our little prediction games, which we're going to get to in a minute. I mean, touchdowns are king in fantasy football, period. I don't care what format you play.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy does is score touchdowns. Like when I heard you read those stats, each and every one of them jumps off the page. But when you heard you say 7 touchdowns, that one to me is just unbelievable. Like,
yeah,
if he continues that pace, I mean, that's insane.
It is, dude, but you jump back up to Devonta Smith and Ja'Marr Chase already could retire, and he's already hit the amount of yards we're saying would be fine if Devonta Smith got on the entire season.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a ton of yards too. Ton of yards. He's on pace to beat his buddy Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, especially with the extra game.
Yeah.
Guys, this is what I was hoping for Ja'Marr Chase. When we did all of our preseason analysis, we did our rankings. You said, "Hey, who are we taking here?" And I would take, you know, I took a lot of Ja'Marr Chase in drafts and what have you and everything. This was the ceiling that I was hoping for, and he's hitting it, which is just astounding that he's doing this from year 1. with how much competition he has around him, it's exciting. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Something I'm going to look forward to doing is one of our year in review rookie shows where we go back and we look at some of the best plays of the year. I'm already looking forward to that with Ja'Marr Chase, because I think when this all said and done, I really want to enjoy Ja'Marr Chase, because what we're seeing here, I know we just had Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb. I mean, Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, but I hope people can really sit back and enjoy what's happening with Ja'Marr Chase, because this is fun. This is why we do it. This is what fantasy football is about, to see the rookies, the fever hit. It's exciting.
Yep. It is time for rookie fever trivia. We've gotten so deep into this that I'm making them up as I go. If we're thinking of Najee Harris here, just so I'm going to give you the player. What does 87.5% mean to you?
Catch rate.
Yeah, it's the only thing I got.
Say it again.
Catch rate.
Catch rate.
That's the only thing I can think of with 87.5.
That is the percentage that he has been an RB1. The only week he was not an RB1 was week one. After that, he hasn't fallen out of it. Just every single damn week. It hasn't been like one or two big weeks that's kept him here at running back 3 overall. It's every damn week this guy is putting up points for you. And again, he is through his bye week and he is RB3 on the season.
And doing this against just a really bad offensive line. And I think that just speaks volumes. I think just going back to Chase, you know, we were concerned about Chase in regards to, you know, we all like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd's another piece. We're like, well, what kind of piece is Ja'Marr Chase going to command early in the season? Like maybe the second half of the season is when we'll see Ja'Marr Chase be what maybe we think he'll be. And maybe he gets a slow start because Burrow is coming off an injury. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I just lowered my expectations for the first half of the season. Wrong. Najee Harris, I lowered my expectations thinking the offensive line is going to be impossible. I said they're going to have to pass the ball a ton. Week 3, they gave him freaking 19 targets. I felt even more right about the bad offensive line. Again, wrong. Runs for 122 in week 5. The guy's doing it any single way he wants to do it. He's doing it against a bad offensive line. Ja'Marr Chase, same thing. Target volume, target share, doesn't matter. Both of these two are studs. These are the cream of the crop. There's no doubt about it. These two are dynasty assets you want on your team.
We preach this all the time with running backs. If the scariest thing about a running back, especially a running back you have a lot invested in, is that they get scripted out of the game because of how the game is going. Like if they fall behind, Derrick Henry cannot, he's not being targeted. You know, he gets game scripted out. So he gives you some empty yardage and that's it. And that really hurts your week. Najee Harris, if he gets stopped in the ground, he gets very active through the in the receiving game, and it's also getting a lot of inside the 20, a lot of red zone opportunities too, receiving, which is very a plus EV play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's exciting to have a running back who I wasn't sure if we would have one in this class that I would like, because can't get game scripted out. I was fearing that he was going to be a Derrick Henry, but that's not the case with Najee Harris. He is a running back that you can count on week in, week out. We're seeing it in rookie year one.
Back to back rookie fever trivia. This rookie fell out of the top 12 for the first time, and it was not due to a bye week.
Kenny Gainwell.
You're wrong.
Damn it.
It was. I was going to say Waddle. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Ah, damn it.
Jalen Waddle. We are going to fly through this top 12 this week, then get to the not so amazing predictions from week 8. That means I lost. And I had the first pick last week. No, I had the last pick last week. That's why I lost, obviously. Number 12, Josh Palmer. Hey, we're moving along. Wide receiver, 47, 9.4 points, one reception, one target, 24 yards, one touchdown. The one reception, one target. We talked about that a little bit before the show, and that's what you need to hear here. Still not much of an opportunity out there for Josh Palmer. He just did really good with it. Number 11, Nico Collins. We've been talking about this. Wide receiver, 45, 9.5 points, four receptions, four targets, 55 yards. Number 10, Ja'Marr Chase. This is probably his worst week of the season. Wide receiver, 29, 13.4 points, one carry for 9 yards, three receptions on 8 targets, 32 yards, one touchdown. Number 9, Jamar Jefferson, running back 30. Trade him to the Swift owner. Jamal Williams was out. He'll be back after the bye week. Running back 30, 13.4 points, 2 carries, 6 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 receptions on 4 targets. Nice to see, 23 yards. Number 8, Brevin Jordan, tight end 5, 14.6 points, 3 receptions, 4 targets, 41 yards, 1 touchdown. Number 7, Elijah Moore, wide receiver 24, 15.35 points, 1 carry, 4 yards, 6 receptions, 6 targets, 47 yards. Elijah Moore, I wish we could talk more about Jordan and Elijah Moore this week. We will definitely be back with him, though. Keep with us. Number 6, Pat Freiermuth, tight end 3, 16.4 points, 4 receptions, 7 targets, 44 yards, 1 touchdown. Number 5, Khalil Herbert, running back 21, 16.55 points, 23 carries, 72 yards, 2 receptions on 2 targets for minus 4 yards. Number 4, Chuba Hubbard, running back 17, 20.1 points on 24 carries, 82 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 reception, 2 targets, 9 yards. Brittle McCaffrey, back in limited form this week. Number 3, Elijah Mitchell, running back 8, 25.2 points, 18 carries, 137 yards, 1 touchdown. Wow. Number 2, Najee Harris, running back 4, 26 carries, 91 yards, 1 touchdowns, 3 for 3, another 29 yards. Number 1, his best week of the season, Michael Carter, running back, and I mean the rest of the season, running back 1, 35.95 points, 15 carries, 77 yards, 1 touchdown, 9 receptions, 14 targets, 95 yards. I take back what I said. If that is not the kind of week that you go out and sell somebody like Michael Carter, I don't know what is. So probably time to do that. I'm back on the sell with Finero there.
Woo! Nice work. Nice work, Swags.
Needed a quick drink. Also, not eligible this week, Javonte Williams, Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore is very close to eligible. He's getting there. If he doesn't make it this week, you'll get him first pick next week, Dave.
Well, I'm tanking this week just so I can have first chance at the first pick next week.
Nice.
Just in case. Same with Devontae Smith, who's not eligible this week. But if he doesn't make it this week, he's also going to be eligible the next week. Gainwell is safe for a couple more weeks. Kyle Pitts is safe. Waddle's safe for a week. They can miss it for like 7 weeks. But Devontae Smith and Rondale Moore absolutely have to hit this week to stay ineligible for predictions. I can also not pick Terrace Marshall, Tommy Tremble. Finero can't pick Amari Rodgers or Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Dave doesn't want to pick Kadarius Toney. I pick first. Do you guys want to pick for me and get this out of the way?
No, go ahead.
I'm taking Rashad Bateman.
Oh, not where and I Finero thought you were going.
Said there's low-hanging fruit this week, and I didn't get it, which I'm very curious about. I didn't say the results from last week. Dave won with that Freiermuth pick, which I freaking love. And his minus 3 on Tony wasn't too bad comparable to last week. Tommy Tremble, or actually Marshall, and I mentioned this last week when you guys got your negative 13 on your donuts. This week I got a minus 23 for my Terrace Marshall donut. So just the way it shakes out sometime. And then Tommy Tremble got me minus 8 for the big loss for me. Finero, Amari Rodgers with minus 17 and minus 2. And Dave crushing us all. Dave, where did you pick from last week? Do you remember?
First. I had first. Tony, I think.
So I'm taking Bateman. I'm really curious to see what that low-hanging fruit was, Finero.
I think it's Kadarius Toney. I know he's injured, but so is Sterling Shepard and Galladay. He's trending way closer to play. Vegas isn't a great matchup, but Vegas is a mess right now for various different reasons that we won't get into today. So Shepard and Galladay not, you know, trending to not play. The fact that they believe this, is this a Monday night game? I believe it's also a Monday night game, which would give him a little bit more time. And I believe it's just a laceration on the thumb. So if he was practicing today in a limited form on a Wednesday for a Monday night game, I feel like I'm pretty optimistic about him playing. And I think he has more upside. We've seen what he can do with Shepard and Galladay out. So I kind of dig this play. But, you know, it also, I could wind up shooting myself in the foot and he winds up being inactive. I have a strong feeling he'll play.
This was tough. So this was tough because I panicked, and I'm glad I looked because I found out that Detroit is on a bye this week, which I did not know because I was looking at Amon-Ra right in the face. But I'm going to go with Tommy Tremble. I know he got -8 last week, but the tight end premium, and I feel like that's just at least some kind of floor for me week to week, is Tommy Tremble.
I like that pick. I can't pick him this week, but I would have. Yep. Back to me.
Yep.
All right, so this pick has not worked out much for any of us this season. I'm going a different direction. No, I'm not going there. I'm going to go with Amari Rodgers, and I'm thinking here a little outside the box. He gets his practice quarterback with the second string wide receiver, maybe Jordan Love. Maybe Blake Bortles shows up, but I think Jordan Love is going to be the starter there. Maybe Jordan Love hits his man, Amari Rodgers, who's probably thrown more passes to than Aaron Rodgers has.
Funny you went there. I'm actually going to go with a similar type of strategy. We talked about Sam Darnold being a one-look read, more or nobody, and that's why Marshall's suffering. We might see some P.J. Walker in the house this week, and if we do, I'm going to take a little Terrace Marshall for his first touchdown of the season.
I love that pick, Finero. You know I couldn't do it this week. I absolutely love that pick. He's got to play someday.
Right? I think it might be one of those weeks where he only gets 3 targets for 17 to 24 yards, but he gets that touch, and that puts him on the list.
Disclaimer before Dave picks. Again, you hear us getting excited here about our picks. This is low-hanging fruit for our game here this week. I mean, we have 20 rookies excluded from Finero and my pool, just to give you an idea of the players we can't pick. Dave has 19 excluded from his pool. So we're playing our game. You might have better starts than Terrace Marshall. I do have him in a lineup this week, Finero. With high expectations. Or, you know, it's one of those ones where we're flexing a bunch of guys, but right. So sorry, Dave. I'm curious to see where you go with this last pick, Dave.
A couple of options here. I think Ben Skowronek, I don't even know how to pronounce that, for LA Rams. I think he got a lot of garbage time, so I think that's kind of how it played out for him. But he did get 5 targets. I'm not going to touch that because I'm worried that he's going to put up a goose egg. Jalen Darden also kind of gives me an option because he got 3 targets last week, but I'm worried about the goose egg and targets. So I'm going to go with Ramondre Stevenson. Mm-hmm. The Patriots play Carolina, who have a really good pass defense. I think they're really going to protect Mac Jones and run the ball. He had 8 carries last week, and Carolina's 20th in rush DVOA. So their weakness, and the Patriots like to attack their weaknesses, and that's the rush defense. So I think they're going to, and I'm just hoping he falls in the end zone.
He did have 8 attempts last week. So you might wind up with 8 to 10 carries, or he's inactive again.
Yep.
It's going to be one or the other.
Dave, I'm going to give you a quick couple seconds to get ready for your final thoughts. And quick shout out to Skip Newton, who jumped in my DMs the other day. He does Devi Happy Hour, does a lot of Devi writing, hopped in, told me how much he enjoyed our Halloween show. He told me that you guys were working with the best host in the industry and to keep it up. I may have added that last part.
I believed it as well.
I may have added the last part, but meant a lot. Like, Skip listens to all our shows. He's hopped in a couple times. Meant a lot.
And to go with some closing thoughts, I don't have anything on the near level as some of our poets in the past, Swags and Finero, but I do just want to, as it was a up and down week off the field in the NFL, really a tragedy for a young person losing their life to some very poor decisions by a first round pick last year in Henry Ruggs. That was a real tragedy. And then, but also Calvin Ridley stepping away because of mental health reasons, and he really wants to get right. But it was good to see a lot of positivity supporting him around that. But I want to take a second and step back. It's my personal life, because sometimes Swags talked about this a little bit last week. Fantasy can be a little bit of a grind, and week in, week out, it can be a grind. Spreadsheets, you know, I know people think that there are babes hanging me around me left and right, that it's just a really sexy, glorious thing. It's not. It's a grind. I get up like at 4:45 in the morning, like 4 days a week, to get that stuff out for by 7 o'clock for people. I want to say, so a step back for me right before the show started, my son, who's a little over 3 months old now, laughed for the first time about half an hour before the show. I shared it with Swags and Finero, and my face hurt from smiling afterwards. So that's something, as we saw some stuff around the NFL up and down, just some stuff. I just wanted to share that. So I a little selfish share, but, for people to just, you know, take time, enjoy the family. Everyone's got family. We've got loved ones, and just try to enjoy the little things, because this is a pastime, this is a hobby, and forget about, you know, the people that we count on and depend on.
Think of a way that they can put a smile on your face, and you can help them do that.
I am Swagzilla0G on the Twitterverse, here as always with @FF _ Spaceman and the @Artbot TV. Follow @Rookie Fever, and we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scout and has never done this stupid fool and run? I told you anyone, size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal, wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. What a lovely way to burn. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.